So you see a flashy AI demo online.
Yeah.
You know the exact one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Someone types a vague, like, two-sentence prompt, and boom, the AI just instantly spits out a flawless financial report.
Right.
Or it generates a complete working web app from scratch, you know, complete with styling and database connections.
Yeah, it always looks amazing on Twitter.
Exactly. It looks like absolute magic. But as a developer, you know the truth.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there is this massive, often deeply painful gap between a flashy AI demo patched together on a Sunday weekend and a reliable production system deployed to real users on a Tuesday morning.
It is entirely the difference between, you know, building a sandcastle and pouring the reinforced concrete foundation for a skyscraper.
Yeah.
In a demo, you control the inputs. You only show the happy path.
Right. The perfect scenario.
Exactly. But the second you expose that brittle system to the real world, I mean, to real users doing highly unpredictable things, the illusion just breaks completely.
Exactly. And the tools that actually bridge that gap, the ones that keep your AI skyscraper from collapsing under load, they usually aren't the foundation models generating all the massive hype.
No, not at all.
They are the quiet, open source workhorses. They are the tools solving the gritty, highly unglamorous engineering pain points. We're talking text chunking, PDF extraction, system observability, and, you know, mathematically guaranteeing structured outputs.
So real heavy lifting.
Right. So for you, the technical founders, the AI builders, the engineers actually doing the heavy lifting out there, our mission for this deep dive is clear. We are unpacking a definitive countdown of 2025's top 10 open source GitHub repositories for true AI engineering.
These are the repositories that separate the fragile prototypes from the robust production grade platforms.
Yeah.
We are going to look at the underlying mechanics of what problem each tool solves, why it fundamentally matters at scale, and exactly when your business should reach for it.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are kicking off with number 10 on our countdown, focusing first on taming unstructured data. Number 10 is T-H-O-N-K-E.
All right, Chi-Hanky.
Now, the fundamental problem Chi-Hank tackles is chunking. For a long time, the standard practice in building a retrieval augmented generation system, or AG, was just, well, splitting text blindly.
Which is terrible.
Yeah. You slice the text every, say, 500 characters, no matter what.
Which is disastrous for semantic context. I mean, if you arbitrarily chop a document based purely on a character count, you are inevitably going to slice a crucial sentence or a nuanced paragraph or a vital Python code block right in half.
Right down the middle.
Exactly. And when your AI tries to retrieve that information later, it only gets isolated fragments.
Right.
It loses the contextual meaning, which completely ruins the retrieval quality of your entire pipeline.
It's like taking a chainsaw to a dense text book, handing the severed, half-shredded pages to someone and asking them to accurately explain the plot.
That is a great way to put it.
Traditional chunking is a chainsaw. Chi-Hanky is a scalpel.
Precisely. Chi-Hanky is a very fast, lightweight library specifically designed as a chunking specialist. It completely abandons those arbitrary character counts and offers multiple highly intelligent strategies. You have token chunking, sentence chunking, recursive chunking, and semantic chunking.
Wow. So a lot of options.
Yeah, but the standout feature is that it supports late chunking.
Wait, let me make sure I understand the mechanics of late chunking. Does that mean you take the entire document, pass it through the embedding model first to capture the global context of the whole text, and then you split it up?
Yes.
So theoretically, every small chunk retains a mathematical memory of the overall document.
That is exactly how it works. It embeds the broad context first, then splits.
That's wild.
And the flexibility Chi-Hanky offers is incredible. I mean, depending on what you're building, your data varies wildly.
Sure.
A dense 50-page legal contract requires a totally different chunking strategy than a rapid-fire customer service chat log.
Right.
With Chi-Hanky, you can switch strategies per document type in literally one line of code. It adapts to the data rather than forcing your data into a rigid box.
That is brilliant. Though we should mention a quick caveat for businesses. Chi-Hanky is maintained by a relatively small open-source team.
Good point.
So while the technology and the architecture are excellent, if you are going to bet your core production infrastructure on it, you need to have your team thoroughly inspect the code first.
Absolutely.
But speaking of data ingestion, chunking assumes you already have clean text to work with. What happens when the source document is completely hostile to begin with?
Oh, at worst.
Which brings us to number 9 on the list, Marker.
And when we say hostile in the engineering world, we almost always mean the PDF format.
Yes.
PDS are notoriously difficult for Apex AI pipelines.
They really are.
Standard scraping tools completely scramble multi-column layouts, they flatten complex data tables into unreadable text walls, and they interleave page headers and footers right into the middle of your critical sentences.
Let me push back on this for a second, though. Do we really need a dedicated, specialized machine learning tool just to pull text from a PDF? Can't we just use a standard Python library to scrape the raw text layer and call it a day?
If you are dealing with a simple single-column novel, absolutely. But let's look at the mechanics of a complex document.
Okay.
Imagine a standard academic research paper. It has two columns. A traditional text scraper reads left to right, horizontally, straight across the visual gutter.
Oh, no.
Right. It mashes the left column sentence directly into the right column sentence, creating total gibberish. That is specifically when marker is essential.
Ah, so it doesn't just read the underlying test code. It's visually parsing the document.
Exactly. Marker actually uses specialized vision models to understand the physical layout of the page, much like a human eye does.
That makes so much sense.
It draws bounding boxes to comprehend where the tables are. It isolates mathematical equations, and it figures out the actual human reading order of the document before it extracts a single word.
Wow.
It consistently outperforms Meta's NuGet model on most benchmarks, producing beautifully clean, formatted markdown text that is perfectly prepped for ingestion.
That is a massive headache removed.
Yeah.
So let's say you've got your data ingested cleanly. Your application is live.
Yeah.
But as soon as it grows beyond a simple single prompt, you suddenly develop severe blind spots, you hit an application error, and you have no idea where it originated.
The dreaded black box.
Exactly. Which leads us perfectly into observability. And number 8 on our list, LangFuse.
LangFuse is your critical observability layer.
Yeah.
The core problem it solves is the inherent opacity of modern AI chains.
Right.
In a real application, a single user request might trigger an agentic loop of 5 different prompts, 3 external tool calls, and a database query.
It gets complicated fast.
Very fast. And if the final output to the user is a hallucination, or if the process simply times out, you are completely blind as to which specific step in that complex chain failed.
Right. If you're using abstraction frameworks, those individual API calls are completely hidden from you. It's like trying to find a broken wire in a massive server rack with all the lights turned off.
LangFuse turns the lights on. It provides open source tracing, evaluations, and prompt management. It takes every single tool call, every token count, every variable, and puts them on a highly structured visual timeline, a trace tree.
That sounds incredibly useful.
It really is. You can see exactly what went wrong, what the prompt was at that exact microsecond, and exactly how much latency each step introduced.
And if you are building in healthcare, finance, or you know any heavily regulated industry right now, you know the absolute compliance nightmare of data residency.
Oh, it's a huge deal.
You cannot send your application's trace data, which might contain sensitive personal information, to a third-party observability server.
No, you can't.
That is why LangFuse is so critical here.
Yeah.
Because it is open source, it is completely self-hostable. You can run it entirely inside your own secure VPC.
Though there is a brief operations reality check there.
Okay, what is it?
Self-hosting LangFuse at scale does require managing both a Postgres and a ClickHouse database for the analytics.
Yeah.
So your team needs the infrastructure chops to support that. If you lack that, you can always choose their hosted alternative for a more polished, out-of-the-box experience.
Good to know. But so LangFuse gives us the X-ray vision we need when the logic breaks. What happens when the problem isn't a broken prompt, but a system that is just collapsing under its own weight?
That's a different beast entirely.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's talk about database bottlenecks with number 7 on our countdown quadrant.
When developers first start building AI applications, they usually default to whatever database they already know.
Makes sense.
Often that means taking a standard Postgres database and slapping a PG vector extension on it, which is perfectly fine for a localized prototype.
Then not for production.
Exactly. Prototype vector stores absolutely melt down when traffic scales up or when you need to perform complex metadata filtering alongside your vector math.
I imagine a standard database just starts choking when you try to cross-reference similarity searches with strict user access policies.
Yeah.
Is Quadrant doing something fundamentally different architecturally to bypass that bottleneck?
It is entirely architectural. Let's say you build an AI assistant for a massive enterprise. When user A searches for a document, you have to mathematically isolate that search so it only scans documents belonging to user A's specific department.
Right, for security.
Standard databases often do post-filtering. They find the mathematically closest vectors first and then filter out the ones the user doesn't have permission to see.
That sounds slow.
It is. At scale, this often leaves you with zero results and massive latency. Quadrant is a high-throughput vector database written from the ground up in the Rust programming language specifically to solve this.
And because it's written in Rust, it bypasses the garbage collection pauses that plague databases written in Java or Python.
Precisely. Rust offers incredibly tight, predictable memory control. Quadrant performs single-stage filtering efficiently, meaning it can handle billion-scale vector searches effortlessly. It guarantees that even with highly restricted, complex 10 in isolation, your searches stay lightning fast. It is the definitive production upgrade.
So we have the high-performance database sorted, but before you hit billion-scale production, you have to build and test the thing locally.
Sure.
And hitting external APIs during development introduces soaring costs and massive privacy concerns. Which brings us to number 6 on the list, OLAHMA.
The active development phase of an AI project can be uniquely frustrating.
Tell me about it.
If you are constantly hitting hosted APIs like OpenAI or Anthropic while you are just testing, tweaking, and breaking things, it gets very expensive very fast.
It really adds up.
More importantly, if you are testing with proprietary company data, you risk leaking unreleased private information to those external cloud servers.
It's basically like paying expensive long-distance phone charges just to talk to the person sitting right next to you.
That's a perfect analogy.
OLAHMA fundamentally changes that by giving you a private mini-server farm right on your laptop.
It provides a remarkably simple one-command setup for running open-weight models directly on your local machine's hardware.
Which is awesome.
But the true genius of OLAHMA is the API emulation. It exposes an OpenAI-compatible API interface on your local host port.
Meaning your actual application code doesn't have to change at all.
Right.
You just point the base URL to your local host, and your app thinks it's talking to a remote cloud provider, but everything is happening safely, freely, and entirely offline.
Exactly. But we do need to provide a reality check.
Okay, hit me.
As amazing as it is to run an 8 billion parameter model on your laptop, you cannot just take that laptop, plug it into the wall in the server room, and call it your production cluster.
I mean, I hope nobody's doing that.
OLAHMA is fantastic for development and offline prototyping, but it rarely replaces a robust, hosted production API for high-traffic applications. Local hardware simply cannot match the concurrency and reliability needed when thousands of users hit your system simultaneously.
Right. So you prototype locally with OLAHMA. You get the logic perfect. Then you deploy to production. You switch out to a massive hosted model, and suddenly your carefully crafted, handwritten prompts completely break.
That happens all the time.
The new model just doesn't respond to your formatting the way the local one did. To fix this, we need number 5 on our list, DSPy.
What's fascinating here is that DSPy represents a fundamental paradigm shift in how we interact with language models.
How so?
DSPy is about programming, not prompting.
So if handwritten prompts are like giving a taxi driver incredibly specific step-by-step turn instructions, DSPy is like just giving them the destination address and letting their GPS continuously calculate the mathematically fastest route based on real-time traffic.
Yeah, that is a phenomenal way to visualize it. The core problem DSPy solves is that handwritten prompts are incredibly brittle.
They really are.
You spend days tweaking the exact wording, adding please, using all caps, adjusting the XML tags until it works perfectly for version 1 of a model.
Yep.
Then version 2 drops, or you switch from OpenAI to Anthropic, and that exact same prompt suddenly generates garbage. DSPy treats language models as computational modules within a larger framework.
You literally aren't writing prompt text anymore.
No. You define the logical flow of your program, and you define a mathematical success metric.
Like what?
For example, the output must be a valid email format, or the output must correctly answer the benchmark question.
Okay.
Then DSPy uses automated optimizers. These optimizers test thousands of variations, actively writing, grading, and tuning the actual prompt text for you.
That's crazy.
It finds the statistically optimal wording for whatever specific model you happen to plug in.
Okay, I have to push back here. If an automated optimizer is testing variations and writing the prompt text under the hood, doesn't that create a massive black box?
Well,
I mean, I don't actually know what my system is whispering to the AI anymore. If something goes wrong in production, how do I debug a prompt I didn't write?
This raises an incredibly important question, and you are entirely correct to point it out. That is the explicit trade-off with DSPy.
Okay.
Because it is a black box optimization process, the generated prompts can look bizarre to a human reader.
Oh, bet.
it might figure out that adding a random string of characters increases accuracy by 5%. It is significantly harder to debug than just reading raw prompt text.
Yeah.
You are trusting the optimizer to find the best statistical path to your success metric, which does require a leap of faith for traditional software development.
It really is letting go of the steering wheel.
Yeah.
But let's say DSPy is perfectly tuning your internal logic. What happens when that logic needs to fetch live, real-time data from the open web?
The web is a mess.
It is. The modern internet is an absolute mess of pop-ups, ads, and tracking scripts. That's where number four comes in, crawl for AI.
The modern web is entirely hostile to machines trying to extract semantic meaning.
True.
If you use a traditional web scraper, you get back thousands of lines of messy HTML DOM trees.
Just a wall of code.
Right. If you feed that raw HTML directly into a language model, you are wasting an enormous amount of valuable context window tokens, just processing navigation menus, cookie banners, and invisible JavaScript tracking scripts.
Which costs a fortune.
It inflates your API costs and severely confuses the AI's attention mechanism.
So crawl for AI acts as a highly intelligent filter before the data ever reaches the LLM.
Yes. It is an AI-native scraper designed specifically for this era. It doesn't just pull the code, it distills the semantic meat of the page.
Nice.
It automatically handles all the traditional scraping friction bypassing bot detection, managing headless browsers, waiting for dynamic React pages to render, but then it performs structured extraction.
So it cleans it up for you.
It prunes the DOM and pulls out clean, tightly formatted markdown text, so you completely skip the massive overhead of cleaning the data yourself.
Which means getting clean data in is totally solved.
Yes.
But here is the multi-million-dollar question, keeping AI engineers awake at night. How do we mathematically guarantee that the data coming out of the AI is perfectly structured?
Ah, the output problem.
Right, because if you ask for a JSON object and the AI decides to reply with a polite conversational, sure, here is your JSON file, right before the actual code, your downstream application instantly crashes.
Every single time.
To solve this, we look at number three outlines.
The historical industry standard for handling broken, unstructured AI outputs has basically been a massive, inefficient, while true loop.
Yeah, just keep trying.
You write code that says, if the JSON is malformed, catch the error, send it back to the model, and ask it to fix it.
Which is slow.
But retrying broken outputs costs tremendous latency and wastes money on API calls. Outlines takes a profoundly different, deeply technical approach. It applies constraints at the exact token level during generation.
But wait, so as the LLM is calculating the next token, Outlines actually reaches into the probability array and manipulates it.
Exactly. It uses finite state machines, or regex patterns, to guide the generation.
Oh.
When a language model predicts the next word, it looks at a probability distribution, the logits of thousands of possible tokens. Outlines sits right in the middle of that engine.
Okay.
If your schema specifies that the next output must be a number, Outlines looks at the model's choices. If the model is considering a letter, Outlines mathematically masks that invalid token, setting its probability to negative infinity before the model can even select it.
That is incredible.
It mathematically guarantees that the output will match your exact structured data requirement.
That sounds like an absolute silver bullet for reliability.
It is incredibly powerful, but we must highlight the absolute limit here.
Okay, what's the catch?
Because Outlines needs to intervene at the exact microsecond the token probabilities are generated, it requires an open weight model that you are serving yourself on your own infrastructure.
Oh, I see.
It fundamentally cannot work on closed hosted APIs like OpenAI or Anthropic because you simply do not have access to their generation engine.
Got it. So if you are heavily relying on those closed APIs, you have to look elsewhere for reliability, which is perfect transition into our top two tools.
Right.
Outlines is magic for open weight models, but what if you want the ultimate flexibility to route requests across over 100 different closed APIs without rewriting your entire code base every time a new model drops?
That's a huge pain point.
That brings us to number two, Leet LLM.
The biggest paralyzing fear for an AI engineering team today is provider lock-in.
Death fellow.
You build your entire application architecture tightly coupled to one specific company's API message format. Then, 3 months later, a competitor releases a cheaper, faster, smarter model.
If you're stuck.
Exactly. Switching over would require massive, painful code rewrites across your entire infrastructure just to format the inputs correctly. Leet LLM acts as a unified gateway to completely solve this.
It's a universal translation layer. You pass a standardized array of messages, and LeetLM translates it to Anthropic's format or Google's format on the fly.
Precisely. It provides a single OpenAI compatible interface that connects to over 100 different model APIs.
That is so convenient.
In your application code, you literally just change one string, the name of the model, and LeetLM handles all the schema translation in the background.
Wow.
But it is much more than just a code library. It operates as a standalone proxy server.
Oh, really?
Yes. This means it provides centralized cost tracking, load balancing, and allows you to enforce safety guardrails across multiple different development teams in your organization from one single dashboard.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
If I am routing every single AI call my entire company makes through this one LeetLM proxy server, haven't I just created a massive centralized single point of failure?
Well,
if LeetLM goes down, my entire product ecosystem is dead in the water.
That is a very astute architectural observation, and the frank answer is yes. It is a single point of failure.
Yeah.
If you deploy LeetLM as a proxy in a production environment, you cannot just spin up a single Docker container and forget about it.
Right. You need backup.
You must architect it for high availability with Kubernetes redundancies, load balancers, and fallback systems, just as you would with any mission-critical API gateway.
That is a crucial reality check. So LeetLM elegantly routes all your calls out to the models. But what handles the responses when they come back?
The final puzzle piece.
What is the absolute number one tool on our countdown? What is the repository that deletes the most universal, frustrating piece of boilerplate code in AI engineering? The top spot goes to number one instructor.
If we connect this back to the bigger picture of why AI apps fail, every single AI engineer eventually hits the exact same wall.
Which is?
You ask the model to extract a user profile from a text. It gives you a giant string of text back. Now, you have to write a custom Python routine to parse that string into JSON, validate that the age is an integer, verify the email has an at symbol, and if it fails, catch the error and send a specific retry prompt back to the AI.
Ugh, I've written that code so many times.
Every single team wastes weeks rewriting this exact same messy block of validation boilerplate.
It is tedious, it is highly prone to bugs, and it is entirely repetitive. But I love how Instructor solves this. It fundamentally hijacks the function calling capabilities of the LLMs, right?
Yes, and it does so brilliantly. Instructor is built directly on top of PyDantic,
okay,
which is already the gold standard data validation library in the Python ecosystem.
Whoa.
Instructor elegantly patches the model client so that instead of returning a messy string of unstructured text, the model call directly returns a fully validated, strongly typed PyDantic program object.
So you just define the PyDantic class, like class user detail, and instructor uses the LLM's tool calling API to force it to populate that exact schema.
Exactly.
And if the LLM messes up, instructor automatically catches the PyDantic validation error, injects it back into the prompt, and says, hey, you failed because age must be an integer. Try again.
Exactly. It handles all the parsing, validation, and automated retry loops entirely behind the scenes.
That's amazing.
It is our number one repository because it just universally deletes pain for developers. But let's clarify the big picture contrast here between our number one tool, Instructor, and our number three tool, Outlines.
Okay, let's contrast.
They both guarantee structured data, but they attack the problem from opposite ends of the pipeline.
Right. Outlines operates at the foundational level. It prevents errors during generation by intervening in the token probability distribution.
Exactly.
It mathematically stops the mistake before it happens. Instructor, on the other hand, operates at the application level. It fixes errors after generation by automating the validation and retry loops.
That's exactly right.
One physically restricts the model's vocal cords. The other acts as an automated editor, correcting its mistakes.
Precisely. And depending on whether you are using open weight models or closed APIs, you will choose one or the other.
So we've gone from the raw, unstructured data all the way to perfectly validated outputs. Let's do a strategic summary of the stack for you based on your immediate business needs.
Good idea.
If your absolute top priority is reliability, like you are building an app that simply cannot crash due to bad JSON, you need Instructor or Outlines.
Definitely.
If you're dealing with massive amounts of complex proprietary information and you need strict control over your data, your stack is Marker for visual extraction, Quadrant for high-speed Rust-based storage, and LangFuse for compliance-ready observability.
And if your priority is operational agility, you know, staying nimble in a fast-moving market where models change weekly, You integrate Leet LM, so you are never handcuffed to a single provider.
Right.
Finally, if you are pushing the edge of innovation and complex logic, you adopt DSPy, letting the system systematically optimize its own prompts based on raw mathematical metrics.
So what does this all actually mean? The core conclusion we are seeing across all 10 of these repositories is a massive shift in industry mindset.
A huge shift.
The winning AI teams in 2025 aren't the ones relying on a handful of clever magic prompts they found on a forum. They're the ones treating AI like real, rigorous software engineering.
Absolutely.
They demand trace-level observability, they mathematically enforce structured data, and they rely on open-source infrastructure they can actually inspect and trust.
The era of prompt engineering as some sort of mystical dark art is rapidly fading.
Yeah, it really is.
It is being replaced by systems engineering. These open-source tools represent the true industrialization of AI development.
Which leaves us with a final, slightly provocative thought to chew on.
Oh, all right.
If tools like DSPy are already systematically testing and optimizing their own internal logic, and libraries like Instructor are automating the entire data validation and error correction loop behind the scenes, will the future role of an AI engineer shift away from writing imperative code entirely?
That's a great question.
Are we rapidly moving toward a future where developers become purely systems orchestrators, just defining the success metrics and managing a network of tools that basically build, monitor, and heal themselves?
It's a profound shift in how we think about software. We are moving away from writing the step-by-step instructions and moving toward designing the environment where the system teaches and corrects itself.
That massive gap between the flashy weekend demo and the reliable Tuesday production workhorse is closing fast. And it is exactly these open-source tools doing the heavy lifting to make it happen. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep building, keep exploring, and we'll see you next time.